Welcome to Impact to Income. This is Tyler Watson here, and I am on with a guest here with Daniel Bloomberg, correct?
Bloomberg. Whatever.
Well, I'll get it right. So, hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's just dive right in. So Daniel, as we were talking before this recording, you were mentioning about your journey with music and kind of finding your God-given passion and what you do. And it sounded like your journey is super epic. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you dedicate your life to.
All right. Well, first of all, it's great to be with you today. I'm really honored. I've loved partaking of your journey. And I guess, where do we start? I've been a musician since about age 4. When I was 6, I ended up on national television in my home country of Sweden with my sister singing. And it was always, it was music from there on. And until about 2005, where by then I'd traveled a fair amount. I'd moved from Sweden via Belgium to the U.S. I was a student, and I was fairly newlywed. We'd been married for about 2 years, my wife and I, and had our second child on the way. And I just started feeling like, you know, I need to do something different. I need to pursue my other skills. And I was led to the field of international relations. And that led me to a master's degree in England. And then we moved to Sweden, my home country, and I worked there for the government for a while. And music was just kind of this aside, something that I loved, something that I enjoyed doing, but I didn't let it at all be part of my greater life's mission, which my why was more along the lines of God, family, and helping other people reach their potential. And I guess over the years, music just kind of became something that I would do if someone would ask me to do it. And I had many discussions with my dear mother, who kept saying that, you know, what about music? And one of these, you know, one day you'll find your way back to that, and it's going to be awesome. And you know, that voice at the back of my head, or over the phone in the form of my mother's voice, it came back from time to time. And in 2015, I'd quit my job in Sweden, and we were on our way to the Middle East for 2 years. I ended up working at a university there, preparing for a new program, which ended up never happening, but I had 2 amazing years. But in preparation for that, we spent about 5.5 months in the U.S., and I ran into some amazing people and learned some real cool mindset tools, and that was a time of complete and awesome transformation for me and my wife. And during that, I started feeling like, okay, it's time to focus on music again. And just getting that download, it baffled me a bit, because here I was preparing to go to Jordan, to the Middle East, and do something that was not at all music related. And so I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to do this? And as it became, my time in Jordan, although I did work towards that other program, about 75% of my time was spent teaching music courses at that university. And it was just this beautiful experience, teaching music and leadership development and mindset to about 600 students in the country of Jordan. And coming back from that, when it was time to move back, we decided, you know, I was going to become a coach. And always caring about helping other people reach their full potential, that felt like a very natural fit. And I had a friend who, you know, quit his job and became a coach full time. And I said, you know, it's my turn now. I'm going to do this. And so I came back and I started, you know, enrolling clients, and there was this voice again that came back and said, you know, well, what about music? Mm. And that's when I finally realized that, you know, I care so much about helping other people reach their full potential, but nothing I do helps people as much as when I'm doing music. And I'd kind of heard that over the years. And that's when it kind of just, you know, all right, let's try to figure out a way to make this work. But how on earth am I going to go back into music and still coach others? And that's when the idea of Rewire Choir was born. You know, it's one of those times when you wake up in the middle of the night and just things just work out in your head. And I just realized that, okay, I can actually use music to help other people rewire their brains, and probably more efficiently than the tools and techniques I'm currently using. And I've learned some amazing techniques, and so that's what I was using with my clients, and still do. But at this point, it's a lot more how to use music to rewire your brain. And for me, it's just become this beautiful thing where all of a sudden I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I know that not only am I helping people, but I'm helping people in the way that I was supposed to be helping people.
That's awesome. And I just want to talk to that because, Daniel, I think, you know, anyone on the entrepreneurial journey, we go through these times of what am I supposed to do? What can I do? What is my real gift? What's my real passion? And from your journey, it sounds like you've come through a place of, you know, jumping from something to the next, to finally getting back to the core of what you love. And for me, I know in my journey, there were times where I felt like I had to do something for money or because other people were doing it a specific way. But the better I get at really just making it me, my gift, the thing that I was raised with, then I find that that just feels so good to share what your God-given gift is and actually go and monetize on it. So just for the listeners here,
totally.
If you could just talk for a moment on, you know, for people who go on this journey, what would you say was the biggest pivot to finally get to the point where you're like, you know what? Music has been my thing my whole life. So, you know, it sounds like you've resisted part of it, and then finally it's like, no, I'm going to fully embrace it. So what was that transition like? What made you finally decide, you know what? I'm finally going to incorporate music with leadership and tie the both together.
Well, I guess for me, life is a series of pivots and turning a corner and seeing a completely new and beautiful vista and pursuing that until it's time to pivot again. I mean, that's very much the entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. I remember realizing a few years back when I started just having this inkling that maybe I wasn't going to work for the Swedish government forever, that anything that I'm any good at requires starting my own business in order to completely logically and financially get where I wanted to go from that. And that thought just terrified me. I tried a couple of times to just between semesters as a student to survive self-employed, and that was not a pretty experience. Mm-hmm. And so that thought just terrified me. And just now, a few years later, I can't imagine loving entrepreneurship anymore. That doesn't mean that it's perfect, right? We all have our days, but just knowing that I am I'm doing this journey in the right way. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be experiencing right now. And in the words of Kim Flynn, I'm paraphrasing here, that due to its difficult nature, building a business is the best personal development program you will ever enroll in. Or something
totally
like that.
Agree.
I just love that thought. No, it's because of the difficulty. It's because of the challenges that entrepreneurship is just such a beautiful way of expressing who you are and who you are to become.
I love that. You know,
I've had a lot.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is there are going to be lots of pivots. There are going to be lots of turning the corner and seeing something new. And just having the trust that the universe will go in your favor, that God will provide, and that you will be made able to become that person who you're supposed to become, and just having the courage to pursue that, that's worth so much. Money can't buy that.
Beautifully put. So, Daniel, tell us a little bit about this piece that you're mentioning about using music to rewire the brain. So can you speak to that?
Yeah. So here, there's an article that I just read the other day that talks about choral singing might be the new exercise. It talks about just kind of what research says that music does for you. It says choral singing calms the heart and boosts endorphin levels. It improves lung function and increases pain thresholds, reduces the need for pain medication. It seems to improve your outlook, boost mood and self-esteem, alleviate feelings of stress and depression. That's, you know, what researchers find that music does and seems to be doing with us. And I think intuitively, we know a lot of this stuff. And many of my, you know, 600 Jordanian students who said that, you know, I can't live without music for a day. Like, I use it all the time as a mood booster. And I think on a level, that's really common. But there are some specific techniques that you can use to take that several steps further and actually very actively use music to get your thoughts to where you want them to be. And I think, you know, speaking to the personal development side of it, there's one bit of personal development where we talk about, you know, just finding the right tools and that'll change your life forever and you'll never look back. And yeah, there's certainly that. But then there's also the daily struggle, the daily need to win and, you know, get up and do it again and just get through the day. And that part of personal development, I think, is a lot just about figuring out how to get your emotions to the right place as fast as possible. And I think music is unbeatable in that. I don't know anything else that just transforms the way your neurons fire in your head and just your mood as fast as music does. Just, I mean, you can think back to how many times have you heard a song that you haven't heard for 10 or 15 years and you're instantly transported back to somewhere else. You know, whether that's high school or first love or whatever that is, right?
So give us an example. Like when you're talking about music influencing the mind, so are you just suggesting that we listen to positive music, or is there something that you do specifically to help? You know,
I have several exercises that I now use with my clients. Related to improvisation or, in fact, why don't we go there? If you've ever sung in the shower and outside the shower, you know that it always sounds better in the shower, right?
Oh yeah.
And, and a lot of us never take that step to, you know, singing and certainly not in front of other people. But, the first step is to just claim music as yours. There's a story of a Harvard doctoral student who goes to do field work in Lesotho in southern Africa. And at his time there with the villagers, he's invited to sing with them one of their local songs, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, I don't sing." And they stare at him and they go, "What? What do you mean you don't sing? You talk." Like, to them, it's the same thing. If you have a voice, then you can sing. And it's just such a healthy way of looking at music, which we could learn a lot from in the West. Because we have this incredibly crippling societal view on music that, you know, unless you're amazing at it, then please just sing in the shower, not outside of it. Right? And my experience, including when I was conducting volunteer choirs in Belgium and France, is that sometimes the best contribution to the choral experience and to the performance even comes from the people who don't know how to sing. So these amateur choirs, we'd have people that you'd probably call tone deaf in there, but just the emotional impact of the honesty and the willingness to express themselves that came from these people, it was, you know, that was a major take home, I think, as far as emotional experience goes. And, you know, any performer knows that that's the highest way of describing success. If the audience goes home emotionally impacted, then you know that you've succeeded. And that doesn't always come from the best musicians. It comes from the people who are willing to express themselves and use their voices or their instruments as tools in a higher service.
That's awesome. So, like,
I guess that would be the first.
Then, so what are some things that the audience could do to amp up their lifestyle and success using some of your techniques?
So embrace music, regardless of how good you think you are at it. Learn how to improvise. That's the next thing. You know, we get stuck in, well, the composer intended this 300 years ago. Guess what? Those composers were often master improvisers. They would make stuff up in the moment, and so can you. In jazz music, you're never further away than half a step from the right note. So you can sing, you can improvise, just, you know, sing whatever. And if you feel like, oh, that's not the right note, just go half a step up or half a step down, and it's going to sound good. So basically, learn how to, or just get comfortable with the thought of improvising to music, because it does stuff for your brain. It puts you into a creative flow that you can then use to receive solutions to your problems. I'll have clients just do improv. I'll play a few measures over and over on the piano and just have them improvise to it. And after a while, you're in such a creative flow that you got an amazing feeling, and then we just quit and I have them just write. And that's when solutions come, because you're already in flow. You're in this this frame of mind where you're creating, and all of a sudden you're seeing things differently, and you can receive solutions to some of your worst problems.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's a super, Daniel, I mean, go ahead.
If somebody wanted to get access to you, where would they need to go?
Oh, rewirechoir.com, www.rewirechoir.com. And
rewirechoir.com.
And to download my book, and there are links there to specific exercises you can use.
Phenomenal. Well, sweet. Well, Daniel, this has been a lot of fun. I feel like just some of these nuggets. I mean, even just thinking about myself, I personally love to sing. I grew up with a stigma, though, that I think just from how it was portrayed, that I had a lot of fear around singing in front of people. And a lot of my family members do, too. My mom's really good at singing. My dad's really good at singing. Yet a lot of us kids, for whatever reason, we took on the belief that it's, like, hard to sing, and we never were in any choirs. My mom always wanted us to be, but I never did that. And this just within the past year or so, I've really wanted to tap into my voice, especially as a speaker and a coach, And it's been really cool, just, you know, because I love to sing. I sing everywhere I go, but I'm very sporadic about it. And I've never thought though about tying in about, you know, having someone just play some music and singing, getting in that creative space and doing it with the intention of, okay, we're going to come up with solutions to things. That's phenomenal. I love that.
Cool. Well, I hope, I hope that I could do something for you. I mean, it's been amazing for me. And honestly, like the most important thing, the most amazing thing for me is the results that I get as a parent. That's another one of those things that the many of us go struggle with, feelings of not being good enough as a parent. And my wife and I, we got five children, and two of them have special needs, and it's been a struggle to be in that frame of mind where I can deal with their feelings in a productive way. And I've noticed as of late, as the more I let music back into my life, performing it, you know, just sitting playing to myself, or listening, etc., the more active I am with music, the easier it is for me to be in an emotional state where I can be productive as a parent. And that matters hugely to me.
I love that. And well, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. And so if you could give just one gold nugget, leave a final piece of advice for the listeners, what would that be?
Wow. Well, everyone who's listening today is going to have a different journey. So find your journey. Whether in my case it's been music, for you it might be something completely different. Just find that journey. Don't be afraid of the pivot. The pivot leads to something beautiful. It always leads to a new and beautiful vista, and you'll have something to pursue that'll lead you to fulfillment. And that's not only the best thing for you, it's quite likely the best thing for everyone around you as well.
I love it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for being on the show today. Really, 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 really appreciate it, Daniel. And for those of you who aren't part of the Facebook group Enrollment Masters yet, go to tylerfb.com and join and post some of your pivots and some of your insights that you've gotten from Daniel. Let us know, and we'd love to have some comments and any additional help that we can serve you there. So thanks so much again, and yeah, we'll see you guys on the next show.
I look at you each morning as I head to work, still sleeping soundly while you can. The busy mother of some pretty awesome kids, the patient wife of an imperfect man. They say the love grows stronger through the years. I know that my affection grows every day, every hour. You bring eternity into the here and now. It's what you do, what you say, it's how you give yourself to me in your unique own way. It's how you bless my life every single day. Your life's not easy, it never was. Still, somehow you make it through. The chaos of each day, the crush of life's demands. Sometimes I wonder how you do. And still, you make room in your heart. what you do. It's what you say. It's how you give yourself to me in your unique own way. It's how you bless my life every single day. And if I could define eternity, it's the sum of all the moments God gives to you and me. Every single day.